If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Welcome, everybody, to Dragon Quest FM, where we talk about and obsess over Dragon Quest. I'm Austin.
And I'm BJ. Woo, you love me.
And we're back for season four, year 2022. I know. That's
God,
crazy.
The idea that this is season four already is crazy. Did we really start this thing in 2018?
We started it in 2019.
19. So, yeah, 19, 20,
19 was
21.
One.
Yeah.
20, 20. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Just
right?
The idea of that right now. Like, we've done it. Was the first few weeks we've ever missed were just a couple of weeks ago, right? That's the first time we took a break on it and didn't have anything up.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've missed some previous weeks, but we always had either daily quarantine cast episodes to upload or like reruns of like classic episodes and things.
Yep, gotcha.
Just some background info. I got super sick. I had a lot going up ahead of the holidays. And anyway, thankfully we had a couple of episodes pre-recorded for DQFM, but it was like, didn't really feel like doing a lot of podcasts. And I felt bad because I had to cancel, like I had agreed to be on several people's podcasts toward the like end of the year, beginning of January that I've had to cancel on just because it's like, you know, haven't really felt up to it. But it's been a while for DQFM. So we're doing like a catch up. Welcome to 2022 episode today, just because it's been, I think, 2 weeks, three weeks, maybe.
Before the sickness, the consumption overcame you, even though it wasn't the consumption.
It's been like a month. Yeah. I think 2 weeks without a DQFM episode, 2 weeks without a DQFM episode, and but it's been like a month or longer since we've recorded, because we pre-recorded our last two episodes leading up to Christmas, and then you know, I was sick and all this other stuff happened. So anyway, this is our first episode in a long time. During that time, you and I, we've communicated on Discord and through text and stuff on an almost daily basis, but we haven't just sat down.
And we saw each other.
We did. We saw each other.
We did. We got to hang out while you were up here. I wish we'd been able to do it more, but holidays are nuts for both of us. But that's true. We got to see each other. It was a lot of fun. And you gave me a cool Warcraft book, so I'm excited. And this dice thing, like everyone at my table the other night at the game shop when I brought my Beholder dice tray, they loved it and they were jealous of it. And it made me feel really, really happy. I was like, ha ha, suckers. And I roll it and it was awesome. So thank you.
Amazon, if you need to tell your
people. it was really cool. I love that it's got a natural one in the Beholder. It's a dice tray, one of the ones that you can snap up and then fold flat. And it has a natural one D20 in a Beholder's mouth in the center of it. And it just makes me giggle a little bit every time I look at it, because I'm like, oh, you a jerk, Beholder.
Yeah. So that actually brings me to my first question, is because it's been so long since we sat down and recorded together and just talked. Yeah. Our last episode, we were kind of talking about what we did for 2021, and we talked about like Legos and things. But so what have you been up to this month? What have you been playing or doing? D&D?
A lot of what I've been doing actually has been D&D. Like, it's been kind of keeping me sane, because last 2020 December was, for those of you who don't know, was when my wife's father died. And so it was an obviously very stressful time. And so it coming around with the 1 year anniversary, also not a good time. And so being able to work on stuff that's creative and play different things helped me a great deal keep my sanity. So I was working on some new Christmas stuff that I got on D&D uh, or D, DMs Guild, and my Christmas adventure that I published last year, I guess in 2020, December 2020, took off and hit like gold bestseller and sold an absolute crap ton of copies, which to anybody who bought one of those, like, thank you. It's awesome. And I was able to play a Christmas adventure. You weren't able to do it because you were sick. And but Barry and Dale and I did a Christmas Avernus adventure that I had found and tweaked a little bit called A Cold Day in Hell, which was actually a whole lot of fun. And I think that I'm going to run it again with people and tweak it a little bit here and there over the holidays. So a lot of stuff like that. Started a in-person D&D group because I need to make friends in this area. And so actually writing that and really adapting a lot of the Kobold Press stuff into an actual cohesive campaign helped a lot. It's basically been mainly what I'm doing, and watching my wife play Animal Crossing Happy Home Paradise.
Yeah.
Yeah, like she loves it. Like I haven't really played it that much because I just enjoy watching her do it because she's really good at decorating, way better than I am in it. And so it's just fun. I sit there, play Metroid Dread, and she designs homes on the TV. So it works out.
Yeah.
Which Metroid Dread is awesome, by the way. It's the only game that's been able to keep my attention in a year, like video game. Yeah. Like I'm just sitting and playing it for hours. It's great. It's so dang hard. But it's great. Like, it's so much fun. I love it.
Yeah, cool.
So, yeah, what have you been up to aside from, you know, lying there, being sick, and your body giving out on you?
Not much, really. yeah, I mean, like, the week after I, you know, had to go to the emergency room and all that kind of stuff, we came up to Tennessee, and so I was also still working during that time. So. Yeah. Just, you know, really tired from the travel and being sick and things. And then not a whole lot. I mean, you know, I had during our year end wrap up stuff, I was still talking about how awesome Endwalker is. And now they've done a few more patches with like raids and stuff. And so I've just been doing like the expert roulettes at the end of those, usually on the weekends, cause I don't really have time for it during the week, to do like the expert dungeon and get the tomes for like the higher level gear and that kind of stuff. And I realized because this is really the first time since Heavensward that I have like actually really hung around for like the in-game stuff, like way back when I was playing it like every day and super obsessed with it during a Realm Reborn content. It was we like did the expert roulette. We grinded for like the tomes. I started leveling alts and like all this stuff and getting other jobs up to maximum level and stuff like that. And then I hadn't really done that since like Heavensward post, you know, game content and those patches started coming through.
Right.
And so this is the first time I've been doing it. And I realized just how much I miss that, where it's like, there's no story for me to worry about playing. So I just log in for a little bit and I can like level up another job if I want. I do like an expert dungeon and yes, I guess it can get repetitive, but I realize just how much I've liked that.
Right. Yeah.
Kind of thing again. And so I've had fun doing that. I played Pokemon Brilliant Diamond. I think I was playing it back last time we recorded, but I went ahead and played it and beat it. Over the break. It was fine. It's not my least favorite Pokemon game, but it's far from the best. I think my problem is I don't have the nostalgia of Gen 4 because I didn't play the original Gen 4.
Yeah.
And this is just a very, you know, true to, you know, remake. I mean, it's just like a prettier like version of the other one. Like
yeah.
I mean, there are some changes, but in terms of like story and things like that, not so much. And so I was just kind of like, I don't know. It felt very outdated to me, even though it was a remake. Like it felt like, okay. I mean, it felt like a prettier version of Gen 4, I'm sure. I mean, that's a game from 2007, and it definitely felt like a 2007 Pokemon game. it didn't look like one, and it did have some quality of life updates and everything, but just in terms of like gameplay, I was like, I found myself being very bored with the lack of like Pokemon variety. And if,
right.
Like seriously, there's, if I see one more Geodude, I'm going to scream like that. They should have just put Geodude on the cover. Geodude spawn in like every area. Sometimes there's just like nothing but the same two Pokemon that spawn in like areas. And it's just, it, anyway, I just, it's fine. It was fine. I'm not going to like hate on it because I didn't hate the game, but it's also not like, I wouldn't call it good.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to get excited for this. Like, I went on a Pokemon binge a few years ago and like really loved them and still do. I mean, I really love them, but I could not get into Sword.
Yeah.
And I wanted to. I like it, but I just couldn't bring myself to like dig in. And then when these came out, I just find myself not caring at all. And I don't have the nostalgia for the generation either. So I think that may be part of it, is that I know they're really good, but I don't have any connection to them to make me want to rush out and get them. I'm sure, like all of the others, I will eventually get to playing them. I just don't know when.
Yeah.
It's just one of those, it really is just one of those things where I don't know when that'll be, because it's just kind of a game that's out there. It looks pretty.
Yeah, I mean, I like the art style with it fine. Like, I don't mind the chibi look and things like that. Like, I'm cool with all that. My biggest thing is just there wasn't a whole lot of Pokemon variety. I don't think that generation was terribly great. Like, I know a lot of people are fond of it, and maybe it's just like the age of people. Like, that was the first entry for gamers of a certain age, and so there's a lot of nostalgia behind it because of that. But it's like, there's only like the new one gives you some like national decks, Pokemon and stuff. But in terms of just if you're playing through the game, not in the grand underground and stuff, it's like there's only two fire types in the entire game. And one of them is the starter. So if you don't pick the starter, the only fire type you can get is Ponyta Rapidash, which is weird. Like the balancing is just very off.
That's weird. Yeah.
But yet you run into a Geodude or a Graveler every 5 seconds.
That's pretty normal though. Like Geodudes, like they always get on my nerves. Like in caves, I'm like, I don't want you, man. Stop it. And Gravelers too.
But see, it's not even in caves. It's like out in the grass, out on the beach, in the forest. Oh. There's just Geodudes all over the place.
Oh, yeah, nah.
And like so there's that. And also it's like a lot of the best Pokemon in this generation are probably fighting types, but they're also kind of have the same weaknesses. And it's just like there's not a whole lot of variety. The balance is really off. Like it's super easy up until the very end. And then when you go to do the like Elite Four and the champion Cynthia, who is like infamous for being like the hardest champion ever, like the difficulty curve just goes from like, okay, cool, I can one hit all of these Pokemon, to like, oh my gosh, why did the difficulty spike so hard here? And it's just like, I don't know. It's not my kind of game. And I think, like, I was actually surprised because I subscribed to Nintendo Force magazine. I think you do too.
I haven't subscribed in a while, actually. I ended up stopping because I hadn't read them in a long time. I was just kind of sitting them aside, as great as they are. Like, I love them. But I actually canceled the subscription. But y'all should totally subscribe because they're great.
This month's issue is all about Arceus, but they do have the reviews in the back for Pokemon Brilliant Diamond, and then they have a separate one for Shining Pearl. And if this is any indication for you or anybody who reads Nintendo Force, like one thing that I like about them is they're very upbeat and positive all the time.
Yeah.
And you don't see them give low reviews very often, especially for like first party games, right? Have you noticed that?
Yeah. I mean, that's the case with a lot of review outlets, but especially like with them, like they like the stuff that they're playing.
Yeah, but Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl got a 6 and a 6.5 out of 10, which might be one of the lowest scores I've ever seen them give a game, and is definitely the lowest score I've ever seen them give like a AAA first party Nintendo game. And I think it's just, and basically I haven't even read the reviews yet in the back there, but I have a feeling that's kind of what it's going to talk about. It's just like they didn't really change enough. And it's like, unless you're just super nostalgic for Gen 4 and you're like, I want to play Gen 4, but I want it to look prettier and be on a Switch instead of my DS. unless that's your main drive, like it's just kind of but anyway, so I did beat that. I've been playing Spider-Man Miles Morales. I haven't beaten it because I was going to try to platinum it, and then I realized that one of the trophies is to beat it again in New Game Plus, which is like my least favorite thing that a trophy ever does.
As a trophy, why do they do that as trophies? Well, I know why they do that as trophies. Like, I understand it, but why do they do that as trophies? It makes me not want to play the game more.
Yeah,
like,
and so
I don't want to even continue like going for the trophies that are there because of it.
Yeah, so because of that, though, I've decided not to worry about it so much. So I've been speeding through my progress a little bit more, because at first, you know, I was trying to do like everything in the game because I was like, I'll platinum this one. This one was a lot of fun. And it's still a lot of fun. It's just like, you know, if there's an annoying part of the game, like, you know, trying to take down an enemy base without being spotted, because I hate stealth in games.
Oh, I love it. I don't like it in a lot of games. I'm not good at it. But in the Spider-Man games, I love it. Like, I have such a good time trying to do stealth as Spidey.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just not my thing. So I haven't been worrying about some trophies anymore. So I've been speeding through the content a lot faster. And right now, I think it says I'm at like 60% through everything. And, you know, that counts like main story and all the other like caches and postcards and things like that you collect. So I'm pretty far along there. Started replaying Final Fantasy XII. I have never played it on the Switch. It's actually, you gave it to me on Switch. And
yeah, I did not like it.
I have not played that version. I think we talked about 12 and stuff in a past episode, but you know, that's like one of my favorite games of all time. It's my second favorite Final Fantasy game. And so it was really nice and relaxing last night, because this was the first time I've been playing so many new games in 2021 that this is the first game that I've beaten before that I'm actually replaying. And there's just something nice about replaying games that you love. Like, I've been playing so many new games lately, I miss that feeling of just like snuggling up on the couch with like an old game that I've played and beaten many times before, but like that you love so much you don't mind doing it again.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely, that's one of my main things, is going back to just sitting and playing through comfort games. Sometimes is like, I just like playing. I don't play a lot of like RPGs over again, but I'll just sit and play levels and like platformers and things that just make me feel all squishy, like just cozy kind of stuff. Like, I totally get it.
Yeah. So we are going to talk about Dragon Quest a little bit. I promise.
for
you guys who have been sitting here like, what the heck? I thought this was Dragon Quest FM. We are going to talk about some of that. But first, I think it's time for a little shameless self-promotion.
She's just so shameless. We're just so shameless. It's a new year, but we're still shameless.
Just as a reminder, if you would like to support this podcast, we do have a Patreon page. You can find that at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM, where we try to give people all sorts of fun stuff, whether it's bonus minisodes or 5e D&D compatible monster things that BJ has created, or stickers or what have you. There's lots of goodies over there. And just a quick shout out to all of our patrons for continuing to support this podcast in 2022 here, you know, season 4. And some of you guys have been with us since the podcast was like 2 months old, two or 3 months after our podcast started. We started a Patreon page. And so some of you guys have been here since the podcast was like 2 or 3 months old. And now here we are, season 4, getting ready for preschool.
man, I don't even know what to say. We just, we didn't even know if we would have enough stuff to talk about every week. And now we have, we're going into year 4. It's just, man, we're going into Goblet of Fire, man.
Yeah. So anyway, speaking of Dragon Quest, I do want to talk about a couple of things that have come up for 2022 that we did not touch on in our last couple of episodes when we were kind of looking ahead for Dragon Quest stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We did mention the manga, which is coming out in March. That's kind of like the next big English Dragon Quest-y thing. And I'm sure we're going to be, you know, doing stuff with the Dai manga when that comes out. In the meantime, we're going to be doing some cool Final Fantasy versus Dragon Quest episodes again, because people love those.
Yep.
And we like doing them. They're fun. So we do have that kind of stuff planned. But over the holiday break for us, at least, Dragon Quest X Offline, they announced that it was delayed by like a month or two.
Mm-hmm.
And the rumor mill right now for that is that it's been delayed because of translation, and that it is going to be in English and that it's being delayed by a couple of months for that purpose. I'll go first on this one because I have a feeling what you're going to say already.
Okay.
But I don't know. Like, I guess I've kind of been done with optimism. I don't know if like 2021 killed all the optimism in me or what. I'm kind of like, I don't know. I mean, COVID's caused a lot of delays in a lot of games. And so even though that's a rumor, I don't know how, like, I'm not investing too much hope into that being the case. Like, I think it's probably just, you know, pandemic causes delays. I think maybe they're trying to fine tune it and polish it. I would love for it to be like that's the reason that it's like, surprise, we delayed it for 2 months because we're putting English into it. Right. I would love that. But right now that just seems kind of like pure speculation to me. And I mean, it is speculation, but I'm not too hopeful that that's really the case.
I hope it's the case. I really look forward to playing it if that's what it is. And I may even give it a shot in Japanese just to see how they do it. But I'm the same way as you. Maybe my optimism and hope was burned out over the last couple of years. But the way that they've done Dragon Quest X already, I'll believe that one when I see it. When they announce it as being in English, I will believe it and go from there.
I mean, the Dai console game was also delayed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like, I mean, I honestly just think that it's one of those things where I think it's just, you know, pandemic is causing delays for like every game. I mean,
for sure.
I feel like pretty much every game that, you know, was publicly announced with a release date has been publicly, you know, hey, we delayed it 2 months or whatever. And I feel like games that would have come out by now that didn't have official release dates have probably been delayed too. It's just that companies didn't announce release dates yet, so no one actually knew that they were like officially delayed.
Right. Yeah.
And so,
the point.
Yeah. The other big Dragon Quest thing that came up kind of over the holidays. So the president of Square Enix started off New Year's Day by this is as close to a direct quote as I can give, and I don't know if you've read this yourself, but it's
hilarious. Oh, I'm sure.
It's sadly hilarious that this is like kind of the direct quote here. Essentially, that they know that most gamers like to play games for fun, but they also know that NFTs are a quick cash grab, so they're going to start doing NFTs for their games.
Yep.
Which essentially sums up everything that is like wrong with Square Enix right now.
as an overall company. From the higher up administration part of it.
I mean, not the creators and stuff like that, but like the people who are like in charge of the overall company. Yes. And so I know your thoughts on NFTs. I would love to
take advantage of them and make hundreds of thousands of dollars somehow. If anybody wants to buy an NFT of one of my novels or Dragon Quest adventures or anything like that, I'll set one up for you. It's $40,000 right now. Let me know. Like, I'm not above it. I just hate them.
Yeah.
I think it's dumb buying a receipt to something I can screenshot.
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, I very much care about the environment and try to do, like, I'm very conscious about that. And so just, you know, the environmental impact of blockchain stuff is like really gets me too. But anyway, so because of that, if upper management, like the president, is really pushing them to have NFTs in games, like how, I guess the question is, do you think Dragon Quest will get NFTs? Or is that something that you, like, I mean, would Yuji Horii have the power to be like, no, I don't want NFTs in my Dragon Quest games? If the president is like, hey, you guys have to put in an NFT of Veronica for Dragon Quest 12 or whatever. Like, what do you think?
The way that I see it going is if they do them in single player games, well, and online games at all, if they do the NFTs within their games, I think it's going to be unique items or costumes that people can get. Like, there might be that one person who can get the Veronica Cat outfit. or something like that, where they're the NFT owner of that. Or in Final Fantasy 14, like one person can get this particular item because they've bought it as an NFT, or that it is an NFT and then they can sell it, and it just like, and there's a market. It's just, it's garbage all the way around. Like, I hate the idea of them doing this, because every time someone has tried to put in this kind of system in an MMO or just games in general before, it's failed miserably, because even though we want to spend, we will spend real money on things. Like, I'll spend real money on Marvel Strike Force. I have no problem with that, because I've played the game for like 3.5 years every day. And but I'm not going to just do it for like a single player game, you know, that I'm going to be over and done with in, I don't know, 2 weeks. I don't know. It's just, it's stupid. I hate it. I hate the idea here.
And I think the reaction has been overwhelmingly negative about it.
Yeah.
Not just in the States, but in Japan as well. And so I kind of think they may end up going back on it. I don't know, because there's been several video game companies lately who have announced this. And then there's been at least one that I know of who's gone back on it and been like, okay, we hear you. We're not going to do NFTs.
Who went back on it?
I can't remember. It's a studio that starts with R. What is their company name? I can't remember. Screen Rant did some news posts on it. So I just have gotten it, you know, secondhand from like the news editors and stuff.
Right.
But they went back on it. Ubisoft did not, but I mean, Ubisoft has been all about microtransactions for like a decade now. So I mean, yeah. Is anyone really surprised there?
No.
So it's like, I don't know. I think it could go either way. I am extremely disappointed just as a fan, but also just as like a person.
Right.
Yeah, like, I get it. Like I'm disappointed. Even more than angry, I'm just disappointed in this whole thing. And I was trying to describe NFTs to my wife, and I was like, it was a thing that blew up for like 2 minutes, and people got kind of excited about for a little while, and then people understood what it was. And now just a bunch of 60-year-old business owners are really trying to push it because they see it as like a get-rich-quick way. And a lot of people are pushing back on it now. And so I think it's just, you know, it's one of those things. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it. We'll see. That's I think, the best way to look at it right now is we'll see about it. I don't know. I'm with you. Like, it's like it was hot for a little bit. It was an interesting idea. And then greedy old people were like, we can take advantage of this technology. And then everybody's like, yeah, nah, this is dumb. But they're like, but we're going to do it, make it a thing. And then everybody else is like, are you though?
Yeah. Are you? I want to end on a positive note. So let's talk about something slightly more positive than NFTs here. The other big thing is that there are several, I don't know if you would call them rumors, because it's not like an insider has said like, hey, this is happening. It's more just like, I think people, you know, speculating, but that the Dragon Quest III HD 2D or 2D HD remake, whatever, is going to be out by the end of the year, by the end of 2022.
Like, I thought that was actually said. Am I wrong on that, that they actually had announced that, or?
I don't know. Like, I have not been super excited for this game the way most Dragon Quest fans have been, and you yourself have been. So I'm not sure. I do think at the end of the big trailer, I think maybe it said 2022, now that you mentioned it.
That's what I was thinking. Like, I could be completely off base with that.
And I'm not sure. I do wonder, though, if Dai got pushed back from fall, winter 2021 into 2022, and 10 Offline got pushed back from spring to summer 2022, then you have to think that the 3 remake, if it was planned for like, you know, September 2022, that now it's either probably holiday 2022 or even 2023. Yeah. I don't know. It would be cool to have a new Dragon Quest game to play this holiday season.
Yeah, it'd be great.
I mean, we've really been jonesing for some new Dragon Quest lately. Like, it's been a very dry spell.
And I think that's actually what's gotten me like not going back to playing the mainline games and finishing those, is because there's not been anything to look forward to get me really excited. And it's all stuff that I know a little bit about, where I'm like, I'm super excited to see this new stuff. And I know when Die comes out specifically that I'm going to be like, oh yeah, I need to get back to these others and go back and play through like 4 and 5 or 5 and 6.
I can see that. I've tried to rack my brain. I've been thinking about this may be the longest like Western fans have gone without a Dragon Quest game in like a decade, because
at least, yeah.
Because you had nine come out on the DS, but then you had a lot of the DS, you know, remakes, ports, whatever you want to call them, of like 4, 5, and 6 coming out. You had around the time of Dragon Quest IX. Then you had like Fortune Street on the Wii came out around then. You had Dragon Quest VIII thrown in there back in 2006. You had Builders 2, Heroes 2. You had 11, then you had 11S. there was a lot of Dragon Quest stuff coming out here. And now, since, I guess, Builders 2, maybe, well, I guess 11S came out in September of 2019. So it's been over 2 years, going into year 3 here, and there's no game in sight for a Western release right now. Like, we don't have that.
We don't even have that dumb Eraser game. Well, I mean, we did get the Die Mobile game intact and stuff, but they...
I guess,
they're not real good.
I'm talking console, I guess. Yeah. I should say, I'm talking console releases. Like, we haven't gotten anything in a while, and it's like... And, you know, 1, 2, and 3 came out on Switch. Like, there was, like, a really good period of time where there was, like, so much new or new-ish Dragon Quest stuff dropping. And then it was just, like, it all just went away.
Stop.
Yeah. And I know there's some stuff on the horizon that I'm really, like, you know, looking forward to. 12, obviously, but Treasures. Like, I'm really hyped for Treasures.
Treasures is going to be great. I hope. It sounds great.
And everything. And so I'm just like, I don't know. I'm really jonesing. Because at this point, there's like, I've played most of what Dragon Quest has out there.
Yeah.
And I'm wanting to play something, but it's like, unless I play some of the Japanese only games that don't have, you know, English translations or something like that, it's like there's not a whole lot to do right now. And so I'm just, I don't know. I'm 2022 Dragon Quest, I think, is the first year that as a podcast where it's just like, it's like, what's going to happen? We don't know. Like every year since we've been a podcast, it's been like the first episode of the year, we're talking about all these crazy cool things that are coming for the year in terms of Dragon Quest. And this year it's like, we have a bunch of no's, it's not coming west, or it's probably not coming west, or we might get it by the end of the year.
Yeah, maybe so. But I mean, we do have, our listeners at least, do have to look forward to our JRPG-inspired 5th edition stuff that we're working on. So there's that.
That's true. Why don't you tell people about that? We didn't mention that in the shameless self-promotion. So as like a tease for the end of the episode here, you should give it people your elevator pitch on that.
Okay, so this is going to be a bit longer than an elevator pitch because it's me. I'm terrible at elevator pitches.
It's an elevator ride in the Empire State Building.
Yes, this is a skyscraper pitch. So we're working on multiple things right now, being that we, for those of you who don't know, we're working on some D&D 5th edition compatible content. Using the open gaming license that they have, where you can use the system and things like that to build your own game and game world out of. So we're taking what we love about Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy and JRPGs in general and trying to build that into a tabletop RPG world. And what we're working on is, there are two parts of it. One is going to be a longer book that we're hoping to do a crowdfunding campaign for, a hardcover that is going to involve kind of an overview and world book or area gazetteer, as well as an adventure to take you through levels 1 to 5. We're calling that Castle of the Dragon Mage right now. And it's great if you watched the live stream of what we did a few months ago now, a couple of months ago, because it was for your birthday. We did part of what maybe we did what might be part of that. So if you saw that, you got an extra special treat on what it was going to be.
Extra special treat.
It's extra special. And right now, we have swapped very briefly into a different project to get something out for y'all. There is a Kickstarter campaign that they do, or I guess Kickstarter, it's not a campaign because that's what people are called. Kickstarter does this thing called Zine Quest.
Kickstarter thing.
And it's a Kickstarter thing because it's from the company, and they kind of have this tag for February called Zine Quest, where it's short, small kind of zines for RPGs. And we've been thinking about putting together a small one-shot for this world that we're putting together called Astalia. And I'm hoping that it comes through. If it doesn't come through for, you know, the Zine Quest month, it will be coming through. So we'll be talking to y'all about that and what we're going to be doing with it. We're hoping to have some printed, you know, soft cover zine copies of it. And it's all going to be like based around slimy, gooey, oozy monsters, because they're my favorite ones. Austin knows I love gelatinous cubes, and it's going to be filled with puns. It's going to be filled with jelly and ooze puns. And
something I'm really excited about is that you have the possibility of getting your own little slime pet.
Yeah, and it's going to be really cool. Like, we're really working on this to make it something fun and the stuff that we like to play. And I'm going to brag on myself. This is going to be a humble brag. I've had enough success over the last year of writing them and selling them with good reviews on DM's Guild that I'm pretty confident that this is going to be pretty fun for y'all. I know we can do this right. I know I can do this right. Like Austin aside, like, he's going to be great at it too, but I know I can do this right for you guys. And I'm
going to ride on his coattails.
No, Austin has come up with a fantastic amount of like lore and world building, and I basically put it into game form. Is the way that we're working right now. Like, it's awesome and it's great, and I wish that I may share some of this stuff with y'all as a preview on Patreon whenever we get a little bit more of it. But it's going to be super cool. I'm crazy excited about this, and it's something that has really helped me over the last year is being creative like this again. And it's so much fun to do and see people play that I can't wait for it. It's just gonna be excited. And I made a tweet yesterday just as a tease, and Austin couldn't stand it not having more context than just a single image of like, I'm such a tease. He was like, let me tell you about this. And so I'm really, really excited to get into this more and seeing what we can do and actually get some JRPG themed tabletop stuff literally in your hands.
Goodness.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna get that in your hands with some printed stuff. We really, really hope.
But it's ooze, so we hope it doesn't slip out between your fingers.
Y'all are gonna love this. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be stuff like that.
Yes. Ding, we're at the top of the skyscraper. But seriously, thank you guys for listening to us ramble on in this first episode of the year. Let us catch up with y'all and with each other. Remember, if you want to talk to us more on Twitter, you can find us at DragonQuestFM. If you want to talk to us on Patreon, we're at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. And if you want to talk to me individually, I'm on Twitter at DragonQuestin.
And I am on Twitter as at Professor Beej. You can listen to my other podcast, the Geek to Geek podcast. You can go to dmsguild.com and look for my name and find my stuff, because I'm being shameless today. And you can also join our Discord that you can find the link at discord.geektogeekmedia.com. So join us and talk to us and play with us, y'all.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye.